Hey, if the Warriors can't go undefeated, what's going to happen to the Raptors? Matt Goss from TSN 1050 joins us. Matty, how you doing?
Well, if I can be honest, I'm going to go not well. I'm going to go not well. I had to go for a hernia checkup to see if I indeed had a hernia. And I always heard the jokes about it and the illusions, but I never knew what was real. And it's all real, and it's awkward, and it's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't recommend it to anyone. Like, I really don't. Like, things happened, and it was bad.
Yeah, well, first of all, did you have the spring in your stomach?
No, I didn't have the spring. I've had a pain for a while.
Okay. Oh, so you had to get the rubber glove treatment, didn't you?
The glove was some sort of material. I don't know if it was leather or what it was, but it was bad.
Hey, I'm not asking about your Saturday night. We're talking about the doctor here. So it's two different stories. Maybe they're closely intertwined. Who knows? But the Raptors, you know what? Hey, great season last year, 56. Like, they're going to be hard-pressed to match that. I don't think it's a failure if they only win 54, 52, or 50 games. But when you look at their team, and you see them right now today, do you think they're better than they were last year?
No, not as of right now, because of the injury. First, no more Bismack Biyombo, and Biyombo certainly actually kind of hurt the team offensively. If you dig deep in the numbers, but a very good defensive player, and it's not just about who you lose; it's who do you replace him with, and it's rookies and guys with inexperience. Then you have Damari Carroll, who was supposed to be the X factor last year, who we've been waiting for, the guy that we saw in his last year with the Atlanta Hawks when Atlanta won 60 games and, you know, he shot 49% and he scored about 13 points per game. He's come out and admitted he's not 100%. So I can't right now say that they are a better team. I still think they're a very good team, and I agree with what you said. They're not winning 56 games. Boston is better. There's going to be improvements to, you know, a bunch of other teams. I think this team is somewhere between 48 and 52. That would be my four-game sort of swing for the Raptors.
Well, Matt, if Carroll's not 100%, and they've got other injuries, I mean, you know, are they going to insert Patrick Patterson into the lineup at power forward? The question is, can they afford a slow start? Because they don't have that much margin, in my mind.
Yeah, there really isn't a lot of margin. As for Patrick Patterson, your guess is as good as mine. Up till a couple hours ago, Dwayne Casey was still being very coy about who was going to start at the four position, to replace Jared Sullinger. But you're right. They play, I believe, there are a lot of home games in their first 10, so they're certainly going to want to get off to a quick start. And, you know, the injuries hurt. It's going to rely on some guys you haven't heard of. And maybe Norman Powell plays a little bit better at improves and, you know, was able to build on what we saw against the Pacers series. And, you know, maybe and Corey Joseph, if he can continue to improve. I'm not going to mention the name Terrence Ross because I don't really have a lot of faith in him. And again, I know I might be sounding negative. This is still going to be a very good team. They're going to either be, I think, the second or third best team in the East. They have two legitimate All-Stars. They've got a very good coach. They've got a lot of good pieces, great home court advantage. But I think it's going to be second or third place for them in the East.
Matt Cause joins us. And Matt, so they lose Biyombo, and you mentioned that offensively he didn't add a lot, but he had a lot of energy and emotion. Where is that going to come from, and what are the expectations realistically for Terrence Ross?
The expectations are usually far higher than they should be. We fall in love with him because he has that one or two really good games, and then we're like, see, there's the Terrence Ross. And I always go back to when he scored 51 points against the Clippers about 2-3 years ago. Well, they lost that game, and the next night he scored in single digits. So, you know, for Ross, I probably have lower expectations than a lot of people do. He just never has been that guy. I think, who is it going to be? I think eventually, hopefully, it is Damari Carroll, that eventually he gets healthy. I think that is really, in terms of talent, that is your best option for this team. He is an energy guy. He is a defensive guy. When he was in Atlanta, he was a great shooter, and part of that was, you know, the Hawks scheme and the talent they had around him. But he's got to be that guy. You know, and then the other name we have to mention is Valanciunas. You know, that's probably the most interesting single player on this squad because we all kind of know what Lowry and DeRozan are going to be. We know their ceiling. We don't know Valanciunas's.
And the other thing, Matt, when you talk about not knowing the ceiling, they're going to have to rely pretty heavily this year on unproven players where you think they'll be okay, but you don't know that they'll be okay.
Yeah, you don't. And for the Raptors to try to maintain what they were last year, there's going to be have to be a guy or two that sticks out. There's going to be at least someone you didn't expect. And we had the assistant coach on today, and you know he obviously was pointing towards Norman Powell, who at least has a year in, and you know a guy who hopefully can build. He looked good against the Pacers. He had three double-digit games. He played more than 20 minutes three times. But then when the competition got harder against Miami and certainly against Cleveland, he kind of disappeared. But it's gonna take someone like that because there's gonna be nights when you know DeRozan's shot isn't working, and same thing with Kyle Lowry. And who's going to be that guy to step in and fill the void for the Raptors?
Matt Koss from TSN 1050 joins us. And the Raptors, you know, it's funny in the East, everyone says, well, it's Cleveland. And then the Warriors, although the Warriors lost last night, it's one game, of course. But like, if you were going to beat Cleveland, and hey, they won the two games, and then we saw what happened in game six, and they really, they were close, but ultimately they weren't that close. Like, is it just a matter of, hey, Raptors have competitive seasons, keep going, and hope that eventually LeBron gets old. But by then, Kyle Lowry's probably going to be old. So what do they do in the meantime?
Nothing. And I hate to say it. Here's what we're trying to do. One, I want to maybe start a LeBron steroid scandal. I mean, think about it. I mean, think about how many games this guy's played. He never gets hurt and so physical. I mean, clearly he's not on steroids, but he could be on steroids. But I'm not saying he is on steroids, but maybe we should check for steroids. Or we need to get a Kardashian to start dating LeBron. That's really going to be, I think, two ways. Okay, I'll go metaphysical with you for a second. You know, sometimes when you have a really great sandwich and you're really enjoying lunch, but then you take a step back and realize one day you'll die and it'll never exist again for eternity. I mean, we can get a religious conversation if you want. That's sort of like the Raptors. There's still going to be tons of fun. Like on a micro level, there's going to be great things to watch. It's going to be your guys are going to get developed. And so much of sports is the journey. But this is the NBA. We know what the destination is. It's Cleveland, barring injuries. It's Cleveland versus either San Antonio, most likely Golden State. But I think the Raptors should stay the course. J.J. Redick from the Clippers talked about his team and said the better thing to do is keep a great core together and hope you catch some breaks. And that's what needs to happen to the Raptors. Best case scenario, Valanciunas consistently becomes their second best player. DeMar DeRozan develops more of a three-point shot. If those two things can happen, and if Damari Carroll is healthy, and maybe if there's an injury for Cleveland, you know, maybe you can push him and you get a little more frisky in the playoffs. But remember in the playoffs last year, they may have won two games, but they got blown out in the other four.
Matt, I lost track of the maybes you just used there.
I know a lot of qualifiers. That was very cowardly by me.
How long does your Jerry look at this lineup if things go sideways early, if Carroll's out slow, if the kids are a bit overwhelmed? Does he need to go and get help at forward beyond a certain point?
You know, to make a move that would really push the needle, the only really one you could think of is Kyle Lowry. He's in a contract year. And this is nothing against Lowry. I hope they re-sign him. The relationship that Lowry and DeRozan has is so good that Kevin Durant actually texted the Raptors assistant coach and said, I'm jealous of what those guys have. I want what DeRozan and Lowry have. So let me just say that on the front end. I love Lowry. I don't want him to go. He's maybe one of the most fun athletes to watch here in Toronto. But if you wanted to move the needle, if things got off to a disastrous start, that's the guy. You've locked up DeMar Carroll. You've locked up Valanciunas. You've locked up DeRozan. Who's the asset? It would be Kyle Lowry. And, you know, look at the Pistons. Look at the Pistons tonight. They're without Reggie Jackson. They're starting point guard. You know, Kyle Lowry would be a hell of a commodity if a team, a truly legitimate contending team, if they need someone, that's a guy that's a guy you could dangle.
One last one. Looking around the league, if we're taking out the Warriors and we're taking out LeBron,
yep.
Who are your other teams you think that are going to have good seasons that could be a push come playoff time?
First, you got to start with Boston. They were a good team last year. They brought in Al Horford. They got a chip on their shoulder when Kevin Durant said no to them. I love Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder, so that's one team you got to consider. Obviously, the Clippers. If the Clippers are fully healthy, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, those two guys can beat almost any team on any given night. Plus, you got DeAndre Jordan, and as mentioned, J.J. Redick. So I would look at the Clippers, and I would look at Boston beyond, we're not going to discuss, obviously, San Antonio. That's kind of a given. So I would look at the Clippers and the Celtics as the teams that could certainly make things interesting.
Matty, great to talk to you. Hopefully. Now, do you have to have hernia surgery?
Here's the worst part. I have to have the surgery in a couple months, but they need me to lose, like whenever people have the surgery, they need them to lose weight. You should see the things I'm not allowed to eat anymore. And I told them flat out, this no drinking wine, that's not going to happen. Let's be adults and not lie to each other.
Well, it's good to be honest, man. It's good to be honest, and good luck.
In short bursts, honesty is fine in moderation.
Yeah.